Hi, welcome to Smoke News Radio. This is your host, Jason Brodsky. We've got episode 124 we're working with. And let's start it out from themayor.eu. The city of Milan will lobby for liberalization of soft drugs in Italy. The city's mayor backs the initiative. 2 days ago, the city council of Milan approved with a large majority on agenda of the liberalization of soft drugs. This, however, does not mean that marijuana is now legal to consume on the streets of the city. The aim is to commit the position to the municipality on the issue and foster a national debate towards finding a solution to it. In a sense, the Milanese local government will lobby at the national parliament and relevant institutions for the approval of a national law on the matter. Soft and hard drugs are treated equally by the Italian law. The mayor of Milan, Giuseppe Saia, who was re-elected last year for 5 more years in office, weighed in on the subject with a show of support. Quoted, "I am in favor of the liberalization of cannabis. We need a national debate on the issue. It is a concrete and conscientious problem. I am in favor, but I have heard the opinion of Luca Bernardo, the leader of the opposition in the city council, who instead is radically opposed. His position is to be understood and respected. Everyone sees things their way, but staying in this current void is not good," stated the mayor, speaking to Il Giorno. Mayor Saia also expressed opposition to the idea of city councilors having to undergo regular drug tests. The proposal has not been voted on in the council, but it has already raised a stir. "I don't think the test is needed. I remember that in Palazzo Marino, where the city hall is housed, when I was general director, the councillors did it, but not all the time," added Saia. The mayor had already shown support for soft drugs liberalization in the past. In 2017, he declared, "I was once young too, and I smoked a joint." Thank you. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have from African.business, agribusiness and manufacturing aiming high with Africa's cannabis future, by Guillaume Sartorio. Africa has undoubted potential to be a world leader in the cultivation of cannabis and its products, but tight domestic controls and tough global regulations stand in the way of the creation of a booming multi-billion dollar industry. Half an hour into the State of the Nation address, punctuated by familiar measures to combat a gloomy economic situation, the South African President Cyril Ramaphosa flashed a wicked smile at his Cape Town audience, miming the actions of a smoker, imaginary joint raised to his lips. He humorously confided his latest plan to kickstart sluggish growth. Quoted, "We will review the policy and regulatory framework for industrial hemp and cannabis, which will come as sweet news for our people in Eastern Cape and Zwala Zulu, Natal. to realize huge potential for investment and job creation. Now, this natural product, which our people have been farming with and harvesting for a number of purposes, is going to be industrialized and no longer just restricted to the smoke process, he quipped. Despite the jocular tone, which prompted audience laughter and smattering of applause, it was clear that the president sees the industry as a very serious proposition. The legal hemp and cannabis sector, he told the nation, has a potential to create more than 130,000 new jobs in South Africa. To further his point, he highlighted Lesotho, the small independent kingdom locked within South Africa's landmass, as a shining example of a country already grasping the enormous opportunities of cannabis cultivation. Ramaphosa quotes, "Our immediate neighbor in Lesotho has moved ahead in the industrialization of cannabis in leaps and bounds, and products that can be eked out of hemp and cannabis are in great demand around the world. We want to harness this so that we can unleash the energy of our ordinary farmers in the various parts of our country." So the forbidden plant goes mainstream. South Africa is just the latest country to turn decisively in favor of a sector which has witnessed an astonishing transition from a global shadow industry to an agro-industrial powerhouse. From medical cannabis to lifestyle supplements and recreational smoking, cultural, medical, and legal change is wafting the scent of the once forbidden plant firmly into the global mainstream. By 2023, the value of Africa's legal cannabis market could be at least $7.1 billion across 9 key African countries if they legalize recreational and medical use, according to the African Cannabis Report from industry analysts Prohibition Partners. Worldwide, the COVID-19 lockdown period saw record-breaking sales of cannabis in multiple regions. Global sales of CBD, an active cannabis ingredient frequently used as natural remedy, medical cannabis, and adult-use recreational cannabis, topped $37.4 billion in 2021 and could rise to $102 billion by 2026, quotes the firm. As of late 2021, only Uruguay, Canada, and a handful of United States states have fully legalized cannabis for adult use, but Mexico and Israel are primed to do so this year, and the Netherlands, Switzerland are preparing legal trials. Meanwhile, dozens of countries worldwide already permit cannabis for medical use and allow the sale of CBD-infused over-the-counter products, including oils, drinks, and snacks. For the many African countries that possesses an ideal climate for growing the plant, These global trends represent a vibrant opportunity. Africa has been a leader, quotes Chris Duval, in global production for several decades. It's got a huge comparative advantage. The plants can grow outdoors. They can grow multiple crops per year, says Chris Duval, professor and chair of Geography and Environmental Studies at the Latin American Iberian Institute of the University of New Mexico and author of The African Roots of Marijuana. Quoted, agricultural labor is inexpensive. Inputs, relatively inexpensive. Africa has huge potential because there's knowledge, there's competitive advantage just in terms of ecology. Yet, despite Africa's apparent suitability for wide-scale cultivation, the United Nations estimates that over 38,000 tons of cannabis are produced illegally across Africa each year, and the plant's ingrained status in the culture of several African countries, its use remains proscribed in all but a tiny handful of African nations. Furthermore, companies wishing to operate in the sector must navigate high startup costs, strict and ever-evolving regulations, country-by-country legislation. Some critics fear that only cash-rich foreign firms will be able to take advantage of Africa's market, locking out domestic producers and erecting a familiar model based on raw material extraction with limited in-country value addition. Duval quotes, Africa is becoming very important within global markets as a production center because of those competitive advantages. The problem is, who is controlling that? Who is generating wealth off of that? Now, Lesotho leads the way. Nestled on the gentle plain amid the dramatic mountains of Lesotho, the Kolohane facility is the kind of place Ramaphosa had in mind when he talked about enormous cannabis progress in South Africa's neighbor. Under a vast translucent hail net, thousands of cannabis plants, some up to 4 meters high, soak up the country's abundant sunshine. Workers harvest and trim the plants using hands and machines before the biomass is dried out and moved to the packaging room, where it is inspected, weighed, and bagged. The site, owned and operated by Cape Town-based Highlands Investments, includes a center for fertigation, testing, and data recording. In the current cycle, the firm will harvest 11 hectares, which Managing Director Mark Corbett expects will yield some 8.5 tons of THC. That's the principal psychoactive constituent of cannabis. From here, the product will be dispatched to the international medical and consumer markets. Lesotho was one of the first African countries to grant licenses for the cultivation of cannabis for medical and scientific purposes. and now stands as a model of how Africa's cultivation ambition can be realized, says Corbett. Quotes, certainly, we can grow the cheapest globally. What we have as an advantage, especially as an outdoor grow, is we have cheap labor and we've got lots of space, lots of sun, a high altitude. We have the climate that enables us to be very cost competitive. We're the same time zone as Europe, and geographically, it's much more convenient for us to ship into Europe. Language-wise, with Commonwealth countries, we find there's a lot of business that happens between us and the United Kingdom and Europe. Those natural and situational advantages have attracted investor interest from further afield than South Africa. In mid-March, Akanda, a London-headquartered firm which owns Foelo Bioscience and Wellness Cultivation Campus in Lesotho, announced the completion of its initial public offering of 4 million shares on the NASDAQ capital market, initially offered at a price of $4 a share. The stock traded as high as $31 a share before settling at $8. The medical cannabis and wellness community, which owns an importer and distributor that supplies pharmacies and clinics in the United Kingdom, says it will use the proceeds primarily for property, plant, and equipment, operations, and working capital. The CEO, Tej Bik, says the Lesotho's advantages go beyond its natural environment and include a responsive regulatory regime and supportive industry ecosystem. Now, freeing the domestic market, a way to increase opportunities that is favored by cultivars, both large and small, would be to free up African markets for domestic consumption. Several South African countries permit medical use, but none have fully legalized recreational use, and the legal environment on the continent remains one of the most restrictive in the world. South Africa, however, may be a harbinger of things to come. Gabriel Theron, CEO of South African cultivator Silo Sibin and founder of Africa's first cannabis-focused special purpose acquisition company, which is due to list on the JSE, says there is a growing realization that an expert-only model is doomed to fail. Quoted, I don't believe that we've got a sustainable model when we are talking export-only. What needs to happen is they need to deschedule the THC levels and CBD levels so that recreational market can open up, so that your medicinal market can open up. Currently, people can access to the product, but it's a prescription from a doctor. You need approval per patient for 6 months at a time, and you can't move volume. All right. This is a good one right here. Last few sentences, or last few paragraphs. quoted, "In a few years from now, people that didn't create a brand in the cannabis space are going to be just your farmers. Unless you have created a brand for a flower, a specific strain, or whatever the case, or you have created a brand for final products, you are not going to survive in this industry," quotes Duval. Says that truly unlocking the industry's value will require African countries to take a leadership role in global debates around cannabis regulation and legalization, a process which necessarily must first tackle the continent's own stringent restrictions on the plant. Quoted, "What there needs to be is an actual African legislation from where the terms, the processes, the agricultural practices, the decision making needs to be controlled in Africa by Africans rather than it just being some company that goes in and says, we'll pay $70,000 for an annual license. There has to be a different kind of approach." How's it going down in Africa? Moving in on the good sunlight there. Okay, so next from thestate.com, read to you on Smoke News Radio, episode 124, with your host, Jason Brodsky. Comes the article, South Carolina, Nancy Mace votes against bill to decriminalize marijuana, an idea she supports, written by Caitlin Beard. So in Charleston, South Carolina, April 1st, late last year, on a windy November afternoon, South Carolina United States Representative Nancy Mace stood on Capitol Hill and said that her bill to decriminalize marijuana at the federal level would have widespread bipartisan support. Quoted, "There is so much in here for everyone," Mace said at the time, "whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, there is something here for each of you, and I think for most Americans to like." But on Friday afternoon, Mace voted against a Democratic-led measure that would remove marijuana from the federal schedule of controlled substances, something her own state's Reform Act also sought to do. The 220 to 200 vote for vote was cast along mostly party lines, with only three Republicans joining the Democrats in backing the legislation. Two Democrats voted against the measure. All of South Carolina's six Republican members voted no. The state's lone congressional Democrat, U.S. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn of Columbia, voted yes. Known as the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, or the MORE Act, the bill would federally decriminalize cannabis, impose an 8% federal excise tax on cannabis products, and expunge the records of some nonviolent offenders convicted on cannabis marijuana charges. It would also require the resentencing of some federal prisoners and allow the government to offer loans to cannabis businesses through the Small Business Administration. When asked about her vote against the measure, May said in a statement provided to the state newspaper that the legislation went too far. Quoted, "The MORE Act forces a system on South Carolinians and other states they do not want. By comparison, my bill, the States Reform Act, removes the federal government from the equation and allows states to decide for themselves," quotes Mace explaining her vote. She cited the ongoing medical marijuana debate in South Carolina as an example. On Monday, a state house committee will hold its second public hearing on a bill that would allow for the use of medical marijuana in South Carolina for specific illnesses like cancer, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma, sickle cell anemia, and autism. The bill, which has passed the state Senate, also specifies which forms of cannabis would be allowed, how patients can obtain a prescription, and how much would be supplied at one time. Mace quotes, "This legislation would override that and use the heavy hand of the federal government to revoke sovereignty of our state. I hope to work towards a real solution on the issue in the future that benefits every state in America, including South Carolina. The MORE Act is not expected to clear the 60-vote threshold required for passage in the U.S. Senate. The issue, politically, remains a contentious topic." After Mace introduced her State's Reform Act, her legislation was immediately criticized by conservatives in her home state. South Carolina Republican Party Chairman Drew McKissack said in a statement at the time that the state GOP would oppose any effort to legalize the use of controlled substances, and that includes marijuana. Mace's support of marijuana legislation has also drawn attacks on the campaign trail. One of her GOP challengers, Republican Katie Arrington, questioned Mace's focus on the issue in a campaign announcement video where she asks, "Is Nacy Mace high?" Quoted, "Nancy Mace likes to talk a big game about getting things done, but when it comes to legalizing marijuana, the issue that has been the hallmark of her political career, she flip-flopped on her position," quoted Blabbered Arrington in a statement Friday afternoon. "I'm not sure if she is finally realizing this isn't a priority for the people of the Low Country, or she is just trying to ride the political winds of her non-existent base during an election year. But either way, we cannot afford another term of her self-serving leadership. Ah, man, sorry. Only positive stuff. All marijuana news is positive. But national polling suggests the issue of marijuana legalization is no longer a single-party issue on Capitol Hill. A November poll by the Gallup found 68% of Americans support legalizing marijuana, while 83% of Democrats support legalization. Pollsters found Republicans were evenly split, 50-49. All right. Next on Smirk News right here with your host, Jason Brodsky. Right here we have from the WesternMassNews.com. Locals react to the House passing a bill to federally decriminalize marijuana. In Springfield, Massachusetts, earlier this week, the House passed a bill to federally decriminalize marijuana, 220 to 204, to remove marijuana from the federal list of controlled substances. We spoke at the local dispensary on one Springfield City Councilor to hear their thoughts about this proposed bill. It's overdue. It's something that should have been done years ago, and it's the right thing to do. There's too many people that have been incarcerated for something that is now legal in most states, and we need federal legislation to level the playing field. Quotes Melvin Edwards, who's a Ward 3 Springfield City Councilor. Springfield City Councilor Melvin Edwards told Western Mass News that it is time for the federal government to decriminalize marijuana after the House passed the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act on Friday. Edwards quotes, "Locally, we are taking advantage of the many applications for retail establishments and the taxable dollars that are now starting to flow. It's an industry that has been underground for so many years, and it's not going away." 47 states and the District of Columbia have relaxed marijuana laws in some way. One Western Massachusetts dispensary is also expressing their support for this proposed bill. The decriminalization nationally is only going to add to the cannabis industry and is only going to add to comfort people have of trying cannabis and erasing the stigma that we've had over the past 50, 60 years. Quotes Lewis Goldstein, marketing officer at INSA. This new bill led by House Demos will prevent federal agencies from denying federal workers security clearances for cannabis use. It will allow Veterans Administrations to recommend medical marijuana to veterans living with PTSD, plus gain revenue by authorizing a sales tax on marijuana sales federally. It will also remove non-violent cannabis offenses from people's records. Goldstein quotes, "One of the big things we're excited about if the MORE Act passes is that we will finally be able to have federal funding for research for cannabis. So until there's a passage of the MORE Act, the federal can't invest at all in some of the things we know cannabis is good for," quotes Goldstein. Springfield, the city council recently gave final approval for the city's first weed delivery service, which will operate in the South End. Quoted, "It's a needed service. There are people that obviously take cannabis for medical reasons as well as recreational, and as long as it's done safely and the company is managing well, they have taken precautions and put things in place for safe delivery," quotes Edwards. All right. And San Diego, $223 million worth of cocaine and marijuana seized by the Coast Guard. Just in case you need to go figure out where yours went. Now, this is the fun one. We're going to end up going by state, and I'm going to tell you how much they're paying for the herb and what's the sales tax. So let's check this one out. This is from NewsNationNow.com. Business, your money, cannabis state tax revenue use. So it's going to be the all that, like the tax, the revenue and use for every single one of the 18 legal states. So I'm going to really try to, we got like 20 more minutes to go before Jack Johnson tells us some news. Okay. The U.S. House of Representatives passed legalization Friday that would legalize marijuana on a federal level. Okay, and they quote more than 90%. Okay, so let's go state by state. So how much are states making from their marijuana sales, and how is it that money being spent? Now, it's going to say per ounce of flower and leaves. What the heck are leaves? You know, what do you mean leaves? Like duff? So it's like it's not showing the high-end price, but I think these are the tax prices. These aren't the prices of the herb. Okay, cool. Okay, this should make more sense. Okay, let's start with California. So if you're selling flower, they want $10 per ounce tax, per ounce. Leaves, $3 per ounce, and $1.49 per ounce of fresh cannabis plant. And then 15% of all retail sales in California. And then the sales tax, 7.25. And the tax generated was near $1.3 billion in 2021. And it's used, California's cannabis tax revenue covers the administrative costs of the program, then goes towards youth-focused anti-drug programs, public safety initiatives, research, and other state and local programs. Oh, such BS. Next, on Colorado, and they legalized December 2012, retail January 2014. And so marijuana retail sales tax at 15%. Then the wholesale excise tax in Colorado at 15%. And local taxes depend on the municipality. Colorado made more than $423 million in tax revenue in 2021. Brought in tax revenue total to $2 billion. And then the tax revenue is credited to building the Excellent Schools Today Best Fund, used to replace deteriorating public schools. The retail sales tax revenue, 90%. Marijuana tax cash fund, that's 72% of that. And then 15% of that, 90%, the state's general fund, and 12% of that, state's public school fund, 10% to local governments. Then Illinois legalized just in May 2019 and began selling it barely 2 years ago. So they have a 7% on dispensaries selling cannabis. Their retail excise tax, 10% on marijuana with THC levels of 35% or less, 20% on cannabis-infused products, 25% tax on THC above 35%. Dang. Statewide 6.25 and additional local taxes could apply. Tax revenue generated, Illinois bought in $317 million in 2021. And 35% went to the General Revenue Fund, 25% to restorative justice and cannabis equity programs, 20% to address substance abuse and prevention and mental health concerns, 10% to pay state bills, 8% to local governments for crime prevention programs, 2% to fund public education campaigns. And next we got Nevada legalized recreational cannabis in 2016, retail sales in 2017 July. And it's taxed at 10% at point of sale. And then the wholesale excise tax of 15% of fair market value. Sales tax of 4.6% statewide and additional local taxes could apply. Tax revenue generated approximately $160 million in 2021. After the state surpassed $1 billion in retail sales since legalization. And how it's used, the tax revenue covers the cost of regulating the state's marijuana industry, and all remaining funds go towards education. In Oregon, legalized recreational marijuana 2014 and retail began in 2015. State retail tax 17% for all recreational marijuana sold, additional 3% for some Oregon localities. The tax revenue generated, Oregon took in more than $178 million in tax revenue from cannabis sales in 2021. It covers the program's administrative costs as well as enforcement costs. Additional funds are directed to the Drug Treatment and Recovery Service Fund. After that, leftover funds are distributed as followed. The State School Fund, 40%. Oregon Health Authority for Mental Health Treatment, 20%. The state police, 15%, cities, 10%, counties, 10%, Oregon Health Authority for Alcohol and Drug Abuse Prevention, 5%, Washington legalized recreational marijuana in December 2012. And then Washington is taxing excise tax of 37%, general sales tax statewide of 6.5%, and there could be additional local taxes. Tax revenue generated 559.5 million in 2021, 20% more than 2020. The majority of Washington's marijuana tax revenue goes towards public health programs and the state's general fund. According to the state, 2021 revenue was described as basic health, $272 million. The general fund, $191 million. Washington State Health Care Authority, 54. Local governments, 15 million. Washington Liquor and Cannabis Board, 10.4 million. Department of Health, 9.7 million. Washington State Patrol, 2.3 million. And another 1.8 to other. Whew. Yeah, who are you smoking out when you're buying your air? Okay, the next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky from SILive.com. First New York marijuana retail licenses will go to those with prior weed convictions. In Staten Island, New York, New York's legalized marijuana market will start off farm-to-table or farm-to-store with the first retail licenses going to individuals with prior weed-related offenses. The state Seeding Opportunity Initiative, announced by Governor Kathy Hochul last week, would allow hemp farmers in New York State to apply for a license to grow marijuana called the Adult Use Conditional Cultivar License. The Cannabis Control Board approved the measure, and the portal for applications will be live on March 15th. The board also advanced to public comment the regulation for conditional adult use retail dispensaries. The dispensaries must be owned by equity entrepreneurs with a prior cannabis-related criminal offense who also have a background owning and operating a small business. These businesses will be the first to open a dispensary and make sale in the state's adult use marijuana market. Hochul quotes, New York State is making history, launching a first of its kind approach to the cannabis industry that takes a major step forward in righting the wrongs of the past. The regulations advanced by the Cannabis Control Board today will prioritize local farmers and entrepreneurs, creating jobs and opportunity for communities that have been left out and left behind. I'm proud New York will be a national model for the safe, equitable, and inclusive industry we are now building. According to the state, equity licensing opportunity will be supported throughout New York with renovated or renovation-ready retail locations and wraparound services with dispensaries in high-traffic areas. Application for these licenses will be available beginning in the summer of 2022, and the licenses are expected to be delivered by late summer or early fall. The location of the businesses, as well as the license holders, will speed the delivery of investments into the community across New York that were most impacted by the disproportionate enforcement of marijuana to qualify for conditional adult use retail dispensary license. A marijuana-related offense had to have occurred prior to March 31st, 2021, when the Marijuana Regulation and Tax Act was signed into law. A subsequent regulation package will outline the requirements for safely operating a retail dispensary, the state said. Cannabinoid hemp farmers will have the first opportunity to grow marijuana for New York's adult use market through the Farmers First program. Farmers must adhere to quality assurance, health, and safety requirements developed and outlined by the State Office of Cannabis Management and must take part in sustainability and equity mentorship programs. The license was made possible by legislation recently signed by Hercule on February 22nd. Further information on the eligibility requirements and what's allowed with the license can be found online. Hercule quotes, "Our state's cannabis law sets a high goal for creating an equitable industry that puts New Yorkers first," said Tremaine Wright, Cannabis Control Board Chair. Quoted, "This Seeding Opportunity Initiative puts us on a path for achieving that goal and hopefully models a way for forward for researching those goals while building a stable market." Okay. There's a great listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. A little more detail on the Fox San Diego, Fox 5, sandiego.com, Fox Force 5. there are 223 worth cocaine marijuana off the U.S. coast. In San Diego, the U.S. Coast Guard seized more than $223 million worth of cocaine and marijuana in international waters, which were then offloaded in San Diego. The drug seizures, a team effort between three Coast Guard crews, the Coast Guard Cutter Kimball, Coast Guard Cutter Laguerre, Coast Guard Cutter Spencer, and one Canadian ship, Her Majesty Yellowknife. Where's the guy's name? U.S. Coast Guard public affairs officer quotes, "These drugs were seized in international waters off the Eastern Pacific Ocean and represent 8 interdictions of suspected drug smuggling vessels between February and March 2022. Randy Grossman, U.S. District Attorney for the Southern California region, quotes, "To all who are involved in the dangerous and illegal drug trafficking business, you cannot hide your crimes on the high seas. Whether you are a kingpin or a crew member, you are on our radar, and it's just a matter of time before you are caught and brought to justice." Pioneering military aviator laid arrest in San Diego. According to Grossman, seizures are important to prosecute those involved in smuggling illegal drugs into the U.S. Grossman attributed a recent drug seizure by a Coast Guard crew, which was able to help them indict a Guatemalan kingpin. McAllister of Pacific Area Commander quotes, "Illicit drugs cost our country nearly $100 billion every year in crime, health, safety, and lost productivity." Thursday's seizure was the first drug offload for San Diego this year. According to Coast Guard Affairs, the offload was medium-sized compared to other years, and all the drugs were handed to the DEA to be processed and destroyed. Fantastic. You guys listen to Smoke News Radio. We actually have a caravan down there. We just paint DEA drug pickup, and we just drive into the Navy base, and, you know, they just throw it on there. They don't ask anything. Like, oh, yeah, here you go. I don't really need the white stuff. Just give me the green. You know, the white thing, you know, I don't know. Give it to Coca-Cola. You're like, go make your product again. Have a product named after a drug. You know, it's marijuana. Is there marijuana in your drink? No, but it's called marijuana. What? I mean, how can they get away with that? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. If it did make sense, then the world would just be perfect, wouldn't it? Appreciate you guys for listening. Smoke News Radio, your host, Jason Brodsky. That is me on the microphone. Really trying to read as close to what's written as possible without, like, fudging everything or making fun of the peoples in their quotes as much, just in my tone, because I have my own opinions. But I wanted to, you know, just, like, change their quote or something. I'll just say it in a sillier voice, and maybe that will, you know, be kind of interesting. But, you know, the things that are out there, like, if people like tax, then you're lame. You suck. You know, we broke apart from this British people because we're like, screw your taxes. You're unrepresented. And the only represented taxes would be those busting your friends growing herb. So go tend to your garden. Thank you for listening. Smoke News Rip. Dio. Jason Brodsky. Jack Johnson. The news.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be all
90 right seconds
to put the music behind the Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight.
60 seconds.
The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. Why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just make believe. Can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby on the news.
10 seconds. for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.